Luke chapter 15, want to teach on the story of the prodigal son, maybe with a little bit different focus than a lot of times you hear. Now, Luke 15, prodigal son here, verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, where he and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And, you know, here you've got the prodigal. Most of you are familiar with the story. Well, I was going to have you stand. Why don't you stand? I was going to have you stand for the reading. Partly it'll get you up if you're able. If you got back issues, whatever, you're more comfortable sitting, that's fine. Verse 13, he wasted his substance with riotous living, and so he began to be in want because he had wasted what he had. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain or would have liked to have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And the world isn't going to give you anything. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Anyhow, he goes back. There's that. He comes back. They give him the party. I'm not going to read all of that, at least not right now, because I've got you standing. Verse 25, now the elder son was in the field. You know, they had the party going. And the elder son was in the field as he came and drew nigh the house. He heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, the older brother, and would not go in. Wherefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said unto his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the lessons it teaches. Help us to help me, give me clarity of thought, mind, lead, and guide. Holy Spirit, pray that you would speak to hearts. And bless the time that we have together here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. And I had a couple of different lessons out of this that I think are worth teaching. A lot of times messages are preached on the younger son and his wasting of everything that his father had given him. You know, the younger son there, I kind of emphasized as I read, and starts off in verse 12 by saying, give me. You know, he was interested in what he could get. He wanted it for himself. Wasn't interested in being a part of the family. Wanted to get out on his own. Was tired of all the rules and all the hard work, and figured there's plenty of money. I want to go out and have a good time. I want to do my own thing. I don't like all these restrictions and rules. And the father, you know, whether he, you know, should he have done that? And, you know, said, no, you need to wait. But anyhow, father went along and gave him his half of the inheritance. And so you had two brothers, and they divided the inheritance in half and said, here's your, and apparently, you know, it was a lot of money. You know, maybe be like if you had a big farm here or something, things going, and you had two sons, and one of them wants his share. And so I don't know how you come up with the cash to give him his share or what you do. Maybe you get a second mortgage on the property or whatever, but you feel like, well, if that's what he's going to do, that's what he's going to do. And so the dad gives him the money, and he goes out and he gets into the far country. And I have a message I preach that isn't this one, but anyhow, the title of it is "There's No Fun in the Far Country." And it looks glamorous, it looks nice, looks like it's exciting, and I'm going to have a lot of fun, and I'm away from all these rules, and I don't have to go into the field every day anymore. I don't. Are you recording this? Okay, I'll try and stay behind the mic. I don't have to go in the field anymore. I don't have to, have all this. I can do my own thing. I got plenty of money. I can go be, do whatever I want to do. And you say, Brother Jorgensen, this is a message for teenagers. Most of us in here are adults. Well, the same thing applies to adults. And as far as that goes, sometimes you start growing and getting some money, and you start off young, and you don't have anything. My wife and I started off, we didn't have anything. And didn't have any money, didn't have any possessions, didn't own a house. We didn't have anything. And you get older and you start accumulating a few more things, and you buy a car and you get it paid off, and you scrape together down payment for a house, and you get that, and at some point maybe you start thinking, been in church all this time, but now I got more money, more freedom, I do my own thing, I don't really have to go to church every week, I can go on vacation some, and there's the lakes and the hunting and the boating, and hunting season opens today for this or that, and God's not going to kill you if you just miss one Sunday, probably not, a lot of people older in life decide, that's it, I'm out of here, I'm going to go take what I have, take my money, and go out and do my own thing. Or I'll quit the Sunday school class, quit the bus route. I'll still show up in church, but, I'm going to leave that for somebody else now. And I challenge you. Anyhow, there's no fun in the far country. It didn't work out for him. He wanted that his part of the inheritance. The Bible says he wasted it in verse 13. And he had this money, and he just wasted it. And one of the things about things you waste, you can't get them back.
Right.
Now, he wasted years of his life. How are you going to get that back? He wasted the money. It was gone. Things you waste, you can't get back. Even time. So I deal with college students a lot. Some of them will waste their time all through the semester.
Right.
Show up for classes 3 days out of four, study once in a while, get a 58 on one quiz, 48 on the other, 90 on one, 32. Tests are so-so. Papers are all not done. And then they get down to the end of the semester and the week of finals, they figure, I got to get it all done. I got to study. That doesn't normally work out very well. Things you waste, you can't get back. And, you get out and you say, I'm going to do my own thing. Even as adults, you spend time doing things that aren't wrong, but they don't count for anything for eternity. And you're living and you're wasting time and wasting opportunities to witness. And we all do that some. Wasting time, wasting opportunities to witness, wasting opportunities to minister, wasting opportunities to get involved in church, things you waste, you can't get back. And, this younger son wasted his substance, the Bible says, with riotous living in verse 13. The older son later on says he was with harlots in verse 30. And I've heard people say, how does the older son know he did that? Well, I don't know, probably riotous living included that kind of junk. Normally it would. Immorality, certainly. And, what he wasted is gone. And it did not work out good. A lot of times God will give you what you seek. You know, as you're reading, I've been reading the Old Testament a lot recently, and again and again, God will say to the nations, look, I mean, the way you've been living, this is what you got coming to you. Here's what's going to happen. A lot of times, you know, if you seek God and seek His will and seek to be used of God and seek to be a blessing of others, God will give you that. But if you're seeking my own thing and I want to do what I want, and I want to be, you know, God gives you what you seek. And you want to be careful that what you're seeking is something that you're going to be glad to have when it's over. You know, the younger son here wasted his substance with riotous living, parties and hangovers and wandering and diseases, maybe, you know, who knows? And he got what he wanted, but it didn't wind up being good. The Bible says, he came to himself and realized, wait a minute, what am I doing? This is crazy. I don't, you know, there's no fun in the far country. So my, you know, young people and all of us, I mean, you can, young people thinking of you, you got life in front of you. You can do what you want with your life. You can go out and try living like the younger brother did and take your money. Your dad's probably not going to give you a few hundred thousand, which certainly he would have had the equivalent of that, I think, back in that day. Your dad's probably not going to write you a check and say, well, here's $200,000 out of the inheritance. That's yours. Go spend it like you want. But you can find and get some money together and go out and waste those years of your life and waste the money that you do get with riotous living and that kind of junk. But you're going to come to the end. Because so either you can go out and try it for yourself and see what it looks like, or you can read the Bible and decide, you know what, I think I'm just going to believe God about how it turns out. Or far as that goes, you can do your own survey. You know, you can look at the people that you know that graduated 4 or 5 years ago and decide, you know, hey, this one said, I ain't have nothing to do with church, I'm out of here. And I don't know if you have anybody like that finishes your high school, but not many. But this one graduated, you know, and I'm out of here, and I'm going to do my own thing, and I'm going to go a different direction. I don't want to get counsel from the preacher. I don't want to get counsel from my parents. I'm just going to do my own thing. And you can look at their life 5 years later, and then you can look at the lives 5 years later of your friends that said, you know, I'm going to listen to the pastor. I'll give Bible school a year, at least. I'm going to stay in church. I'm going to be obedient to my parents. I'm going to listen to what they teach me. I'm going to keep working on a bus route. I'm going to keep and see how their life turns out 5 years later. I mean, if you don't want to just trust the Bible and say, you know, God said it, and as far as that goes, the Bible's right about everything. Bible's always right. But if you don't believe that, you do your own survey. Don't listen to my sermon illustrations that I could give. Or Brother Austin, anybody in ministry could give. Think of your friends from 5 years ago, 3 years ago, and what they're doing and how their life has turned out. And say, well, but you know, I'll never get rich doing that. What's the goal of being rich all about? Sometimes Bible college students say to me, well, my parents don't really want me in Bible college. They say, why would you waste your life doing that? I'm thinking, boy, that's backwards. Why would you waste your life trying to make money? Money just all stays here. No eternal value. There's no, I mean, you know, look around. Look at our faculty here. They're not rich. Yeah, I suggest you tell your parents, you know. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the faculty here. Most of them don't look like they're wealthy. But you know, they're eating okay. They got a nice little house. They got a wife or husband that loves them and kids that want to serve God. What more do you want out of life than that? But anyhow, there's no fun in the far country. The riotous living and all that doesn't get it. And one lesson out of this would be, I mean, you don't want to do that. I'd like to take a few minutes and talk to you about the older son. The older son, a lot of times, and I've heard preachers preach, and I mean, crucify him. He wasn't perfect. But the older son, all in all, pretty good guy. If you look at the two in this story, you got the older son, the younger son. The older son stayed and worked. The older son did what was right. The older son was obedient to his dad. The older son, I mean, verse 25 there in Luke, someplace it's back in here, Luke 15, where did it go? Verse 25, the elder son was in the field. After they hear the party and they're excited, the younger son came back. And certainly we ought to be excited when the younger son comes back. The elder son was in the field. He was working. Had worked hard all day. I mean, he was out in the field. And it was a big farm, apparently, because the Bible says in verse 25, as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music. Apparently, he couldn't hear the music when he was out working where he was. So it had been a couple acres. I mean, obviously, this was a whole lot bigger than that. But many of you, your farms out here, you'd have farms where, I mean, they could be having a big party at the house and you'd never know it out where you were working. And, I mean, boy was out there and he was working. He was diligent. He was faithful. He drew nigh the house. He heard music and dancing. And verse 26, he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And somebody, I've heard preachers say, well, he knew what was going on. Maybe he did, but he said he didn't. And he said he didn't hear the music until he got close to the house. And how would you know? Would he have gotten a text out there in the field? Man, a bunch of noise. There's a party going on. I mean, how would he have known? He didn't know the younger brother was coming home that day. I mean, how would have he had a clue what was going on? What's going on down there? I went to work this morning just like I do every day. I come home and there's a big party going on. What's happened? And he says, verse 27, and he said unto him, the servant said to the older son, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And so he finds out what's going on. Verse 28 is his flaw. The favor that he had, he worked for the, it was a good worker and everything. He was angry and would not go in. That was a flaw. He shouldn't have been angry. And certainly when there's a prodigal and somebody leaves our church or leaves our family and goes out and is disobedient and wastes substance and wastes their life with riotous living and so on like that, if they come back to God, we ought to be excited about it. We should be excited. And, or somebody that wasn't in church and, you go out and reach them, they get saved and they've lived a messed up life and so on. I mean, we ought to be excited they got right with God. And, the older son there's a flaw. He was angry and would not go in. But his dad comes out and talks. Some ways I understand the older brother. I mean, it was wrong, but it's the wrong I would have committed. In these two, out of these two boys in the story, I'm the older son. Your pastor's the older son. Most of you are the older son. And I'm not comparing you to your physical brothers. Most of you are the older son. I've tried to do right all my life. He gets down in here, the older son says, I neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And he doesn't mean he was perfect, but he says, Dad, I did what you said. And I think probably especially talking about the farm and the work in terms of the job. And I could say I've worked for Brother Fugit 18 years. I've never disobeyed him. Never has there been a time when he said, Jim, I want you to do this. And I said, well, I'm not doing it. Or I said, okay, but went out and did the opposite. I mean, most time I agree with it. But if I don't agree with it, I still do what he says. That'd be the same for every employer I've ever had, back to when I was working in delivering papers or as a high school kid or working in a little literature stock room, putting together manuals back before Xerox and all that made the copies. I mean, little machine shop and teaching part-time and teaching full-time. I mean, I've always done what the boss said. And again, that'd be testimony many of you'd have. And so here, the older son, he's always done what the boss said, always done what his dad said, and he's worked hard every day and been here. And now all of a sudden, this kid who took half our money, made dad make second mortgage payments or whatever, shows up, and I don't know what's going to happen to him. I don't know how dad's going to treat him. It aggravates me that he's getting treated better than I got treated. It seems like they're more happy about him than they are about me. Again, that shouldn't be the reaction, but I kind of understand it. It's wrong. But anyhow, dad comes out to him and says, I should have put a marker in here, shouldn't I? Luke 15, the dad comes out to him and says, where is it? Father came out, thy brother has come, thy father had killed a fatted calf, verse 27. He was angry. His father came out and entreated him. He said, now, son, look, let me talk with you about this. We ought to be happy and so on. And the older son then makes his statement about how he's been obedient all these years. I've never had a big party. But as soon as this came, the father then in verse 31 says, and he, the father, said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. It was meet or appropriate, suitable, that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. You're wrong. You ought to be happy about your brother coming back. But even as you read verse 31, son, thou art ever with me. You've always been here for me. I know you're always going to be here for me. I know I can count on you. I mean, I could see my dad putting his arm around me, as he knew he was dying or going to be dying in a few months, year or something. Emphysema real bad. He'd smoked, was a chain smoker for decades. But a great dad. Told my mother, as she was worried about what was going to happen and everything, she said, my dad's told her, don't worry, Betty, you'll always have Jim. Jim will always be there. That meant a lot to me. And Jim was always there, and so was my wife, as far as that goes, for my mother. But that's the dad saying, don't worry about it. Thou art ever with me. Then he goes on and says, all that I have is thine. The farm's yours. You've got everything here. Your younger brother took and wasted everything. And I don't know that he ever went out and lived in the servants' quarters. The younger brother probably lived in the house and was treated somewhat as a son. But, after the party the next morning, at some point the party ended. And it was exciting. Should have been a party. Glad to have a party. Glad to have the younger brother home. Glad to have somebody come back to God that was in church and wandered away and came back. glad to have somebody come to God that never was in church and wandered away from God and call of God and went out and messed up his, you know, wasted a good portion of his life. Glad to have him come back to God. But I'd like to, you know, Brother Howell's preaching a sermon. Let's hear it for the older brother. Most of us in here, I don't know, many of us in here would, you know, out of the two, we're the older brother. I didn't go out and waste that. Probably been ungrateful. I have been ungrateful at times. Certainly haven't lived perfectly. But all in all, I've tried to obey. I've tried to serve. And the older brother then winds up with a fortune. Next morning, he's the boss. Younger brother's working for the older brother, essentially. He owns the farm. Dad's going to pass. Older brother owns the farm. What's the younger brother going to do? And again, one of the things I'd like to stress out of this is you can never get back what you waste. What you waste, you can never get back. It's wasted. Now, you can waste. College kids will come in. They'll start getting those paychecks or get a paycheck, maybe $350, $400 for a week's work. Get paid every other week, some of them. So now I got $750 in a paycheck. And that's more money than most of them have ever had at one child or maybe graduation gifts. And it's like, I'm rich. I got $750. I can do whatever I want. And some of them go out and waste that $750 and waste this and waste that. And it's, and we try and counsel them not to do it, but some of them don't listen real well. We don't control their finances. You got to pay your bills, what you do with it, as long as it's legal and moral. Beyond that, I don't care. But, you know, what you waste, you can't. Now, you can work harder and do without more and try and catch up. But if you waste a couple thousand in the beginning, it's gone. So I'll get it. You can be more frugal in the future, but that 2,000 you wasted is gone. Say certainly true with money, true with time, opportunities. You know, all of us ought to be conscious and alert for opportunities to witness, opportunities to present the gospel, opportunities to invite people to church. Opportunities to be an encouragement to a friend or a neighbor. Opportunities to pray for somebody. I mean, you waste those opportunities, they're gone. So, well, I'll witness more next week. And you can witness more next week, but you can't. Things that are wasted, you can't get back. Opportunities, trust. People trusted me. Somebody would say, but I did this and this, and now they won't trust me anymore. Boy, it's hard to get that trust back. Respect. I mean, I have a good name in this country. Your pastor has a very good name in this country. Can't get that respect back if you blow it. What you waste, you can't get back. The father corrected the older son for his attitude, and that should have been corrected. And if you have that kind of an attitude, you ought to fix it. I don't think most of us that have been faithful all, you know, for decades that would, I mean, we are happy when people come back. Sometimes maybe if it, I mean, again, I understand the older brother was wrong, but I understand it. But the father corrected the older son for his attitude, but he thanked and rewarded him for his faithfulness. And you ought to be glad for the one that returns, verse 32. But you ought to be, it's better, you want to be faithful to serve God and be faithful through your youth. You know, it turns out much better. You know, a week later, think how much better off the older brother was. He had to farm. Younger brother's working there. He's got plenty to eat. Making a wage, but it's so much better to just be faithful all the way through. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Help us to be faithful. Help us not to waste opportunities in front of us. Nobody can correct the past. We've all wasted things, money, time, opportunities to witness or serve. Help us to be diligent to buy up the opportunities, redeeming the time because the days are evil as we go forward. Help us to live for you and keep our lives clean and pure. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.